Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com, movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley and I'm super excited for this week's show because it's episode 600, which means I'm joined for a very special episode 600 discussion by Adam Risky. Hey Adam.
I can't think of a better movie to reflect on 600 episodes than the one that we're talking about today.
Yes, we are talking about 2008's Mirrors, directed by Alexander Aja. Longtime fans of the podcast may be familiar with my history with this movie. There were many scary movie months where I intended to watch it and never did. So this is a first-time watch for me. We're coming up on 600 episodes. I thought, well, let's finally do Mirrors.
And you still are keeping your promise of not watching it during a scary movie month.
True.
So good on you.
Got it out of the way before October.
Yeah.
This is our last regular episode before Scary Movie Month, but it's basically a Scary Movie Month episode. We're talking about Mirrors.
It's Scary Movie Month Eve.
Yeah, exactly.
Of sorts.
Right.
Yeah.
Scary Movie Month starts October 1st. If you're not familiar with it, go to fthismovie.com. Every time you watch a horror movie during the month of October, you leave a 7-word review on that day's posting for the Scary Movie Challenge, and then we read our favorite 7-word reviews on the podcast. All month long, we'll be talking about horror movies and having horror-related content posted on the site. It's our favorite month of the year.
Yes, it is. I'm very much looking forward to this October,
because
not
too.
Only are the White Sox in the playoffs,
that's right,
but endless horror content and events and all things good.
But to kick it off,
Mirrors.
I mean, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there.
Yeah. The mirror has two faces. Has something on mirrors? I would say nothing, but I think the
I've
other
one.
I've
seen the mirror has two faces.
I've seen the poster for it, and
I saw
it
the
looks
trailer a lot.
Elegant.
Oh, well, elegant is a good word for it.
Yeah, it's classic
Pierce
November
Brosnan,
96.
Jeff Bridges, Barbara Streisand, right?
Pierce Brosnan in the cuck role.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen it, but I'm figuring because if
cuck
he's the
bond.
Third lead, and it's, yeah, it's Bridges and Streisand are the main attraction, as Jeremy Renner might say. The perfect distraction, because they're the main attraction.
Adam, have you seen anything good lately?
I've seen a lot of stuff, so I don't even... It's like one of those things where I like wrote down 8 movies, and I should probably pick like 4.
Why? Then we just have to talk about Mirrors.
All right, let's talk about all 8. some of them are stuff that you've written about, or Rob's reviewed, or we've talked about on the podcast. So I'll start with those and kind of go through those quick. I saw Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings? Ten Rings?
Sounds right.
Okay.
I believe there's 10.
Yeah. I liked it. It was better than Black Widow.
Yeah.
I saw it at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, and I think that enhanced my experience.
Yeah.
I'm excited, in quotes, to see more adventures of Shang-Chi and Awkwafina.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I saw it with my son. He liked it. Yeah. I have more or less forgotten it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, you can remember it on Disney Plus Day.
What's Disney Plus Day?
They made their own holiday.
Oh, cool.
Because Disney Plus launched on November 12th. So now they're making it a holiday where it's like their Black Friday, where it's like all the specials are coming out. So they've got like Shang-Chi and like Jungle Cruise free for all subscribers and the new season of that Jeff Goldblum show, and there's like a few other things that are coming out that day. So
wow,
that was your commercial for Disney Plus.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah. I watched Malignant.
Okay, yes, you did.
And I wish I saw it in theaters, but it was too easy to press play on the HBO Max, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I didn't think that it was like the greatest horror movie ever.
You haven't spent enough time online.
No, I haven't. I felt a little alone in that, but when it's good, it's real, real good.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that James Wan cashed in all of his chips and said, I want to make something crazy just for me. And when I keep hearing more about it, like that the movie was the idea of his wife who plays the coroner in the movie.
Oh, I was
the
not aware
with
of that.
The large glasses and everything.
Okay.
It's cute because it's another like zombie, like Rob Zombie, Sherry Moon zombie thing. So I think we were overdue for another horror power couple, and if James Wan and her collaborate on things as silly and fun as this, then I'm all for it.
Let her come up with all the ideas.
Exactly, yeah.
No more Conjurings. No more Conjuring Universe. No Malignant Universe. I don't need another Malignant.
No, although...
it's a one and done.
I really liked Annabelle Comes Home.
That's right. I haven't seen any of the Annabelle movies.
But
so
that'll
be episode 1200.
Annabelle Comes Home, though, is definitely like the Free Willy 3 of the Conjuring universe, where it's like nobody's paying attention anymore. So let's make something heartfelt about the whaling industry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's like, it's just for me.
And Michael Madsen.
I saw Prisoners of the Ghostland. We started talking about that yesterday,
but
I was only like an hour into it.
Okay.
I didn't like it as much as some other recent Nicolas Cage movies that I watched, but it definitely, that opening setup with him and Bill Moseley, where he's kind of doing the escape from New York bit of, you know, setting up the movie, was great. And I thought that I didn't think the movie kind of reached that height again.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, you know, interesting, and like there was a lot of, you know, cool visuals, and it was very stylistically made, and I just wanted it to get back to the heights of that opening, and it just didn't, but I still enjoyed it overall.
Me too. It doesn't quite go as crazy as I would like it to, considering what they're working with, who the filmmaker is, the plot that they have set up, the way that you think it's going to go, just totally nuts. And it's a little bit subdued.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Like, it's something where I expected to almost, like, be more conflicted with, like, how I was feeling about it. But I'm just like, oh, no, this is very, like, just kind of following the narrative.
Right.
As opposed to just being kind of crazy. I saw Cry Macho.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a good movie, but I enjoyed it.
That was kind of my review, too.
I was talking to Rob about how I'm going to miss when Clint Eastwood's gone and nobody else is making, like, road movies where, like, they stop at a diner every 10 minutes.
Right.
And I enjoy that aspect of his late career.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought that it was kind of oddly simple and sweet.
Yeah.
So I was okay with it. I really, really... really enjoyed that he was like Dr. Doolittle and like was fixing all the animals, but like the way he would fix the animals, he'd be like, he's like, so your pig's sick, huh? Well, there you go. And he would just like pet it, and he's like, off you go.
He had a healing touch.
He just like had to look at it, and he's just like, oh man, this he's like, he's basically like, so this dog attacked this goat, huh? All right, we'll put it in the back, we'll figure it out.
The man can work magic.
Yeah. But overall, you know, for an HBO Max, you know, view,
right,
it was just fine. I saw Cop Shop at the movie theater yesterday.
All right, now I'm in the weeds, because now I haven't seen it.
Okay. I thought it was like, it's not, it's more on the end of the spectrum of Carnahan movies I don't like Stretch and Boss Level. I mentioned it to you yesterday. It's like one of those movies where every part, I feel like, of the main four is miscast. Where the one that comes out best is there's a woman, Alexis Lauder, I think is her name. She was in like the Tomorrow War, and like she's just kind of starting out. And she's okay, but like I wanted maybe a little bit more. Kind of like, she's very sort of underplaying things where I didn't want her to, especially
towards
the end.
Everybody else is underplaying too, right?
Oh, of course.
I could tell from the trailer everybody else is.
Yeah. Toby Huss is like way over the top to the point where it's like not enjoyable, because you can tell he's just not taking anything seriously.
Right.
You need to take it a little seriously. That's the part that I wanted Gerard Butler to play.
Okay.
The Gerard Butler part should have been played by somebody like Jamie Foxx, who's kind of like, can do like the cool guy thing.
Got it.
The cool anti-hero thing.
Got it.
The Frank Grillo part, he's basically playing like a skeevier version of like Leo Getz. like,
okay,
which doesn't fit him. Right. And I think, like, if you put, like, Vince Vaughn there,
okay,
that would work better. So that's my dream casting of movie. So I just, I don't know. It just is so weird to me that, like, if you're going to make a movie and, like, you see the cast as, like, Butler, Grillo, Huss, it's like, maybe you just don't make the movie.
Carnahan likes to work with real men like Butler and Grillo, though.
Whatever.
Men's men.
Sure. I mean, Butler kind of has, like, won me over since Den of Thieves, because I think before I was just like, you're not that good of an actor. Like, how dare you? And then, like, now I'm just like, oh, he knows. He, like, clearly knows. So it's fine. I saw The Card Counter.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it. I don't think it, like, works from the beginning to the end. It kind of has, like, a wonky, like, last 15 minutes.
Hmm.
But, yeah, the way I described it was, like, if First Reformed was Paul Schrader's History of Violence, this is his Eastern Promises.
Okay.
So it's just, it's almost as good, a little less ambitious. Right. Oscar Isaac, like, if you're an Oscar Isaac fan, though, this is, like, Oscar Isaac porn, basically. Like, it's everything that you want out of an Oscar Isaac role. So it's much,
please don't,
like,
let Erica hear you say Oscar Isaac porn.
Erica,
she's searching the internet right now.
Yeah,
for it's that phrase.
It's my favorite performance of his, I think, maybe since, like, Most Violent Year, because it's just like they just let him act as opposed to, you know, where he's fitting into the Star Wars universe or something like that.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. I would recommend that. It's not as, like, gambling centric as I thought it was going to be.
That's probably good, because I don't do well with gambling movies.
Yeah, because at the beginning they start talking about, like, well, this is how I, you know, count cards, and, like, they go through, like, the philosophy of it. I'm just like, oh, is this going to be like a Rounders type of movie?
Right.
But there's a lot of,
don't splash pot.
Do not touch my Oreos.
Do you have my money?
Oh, God. He's no splashing the butt. God, he's so good in that movie. So enjoyable. Yeah, he's just like, I owe grandma $2,000. I'm just like, this is the most Miramax movie ever. So I would recommend The Card Counter.
All right.
And then I had a weird day where, like, I got the Pfizer booster and then it knocked me on my butt and I wasn't feeling good. So I decided I was going to do, like, a pre-scary movie month horror movie marathon, and lasted only, like, 3 movies. But
that's good.
I watched the Texas Chainsaw Next Generation.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it more than I used to, because I now I'm not embarrassed about watching those movies. Whereas when I was like 15 and watching that movie, I felt judged by, like, my friend's parents for bringing it over.
Got it.
So, like, and also I was mentioning to you the other day, like, how I think Rob Zombie, like, House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects kind of made me more comfortable with, like, that type of slasher movie where it's kind of like the down and dirty,
right,
backwoods type thing.
Right.
So I liked it more this time. I think, I appreciate that Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger are, like, playing the material and they're not, like, embarrassed by it. And I feel bad that they're, like, embarrassed by it now,
right,
but, like, when they were shooting it, clearly they were, like, giving it their all and everything. So kudos to them for that. And then, I watched Superhost on Shudder, and we were waiting to talk about
that one together. That's right.
Because we are both fans of, I don't even know what her name is anymore.
Gracie Gillum.
Gracie Gillum used to be Grace Phipps.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the change is attributed to, because she's not married to a Gillum.
Not that I know of.
Perhaps she was and is no longer?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she made several movies under the name Grace Phipps, and now all of a sudden is Gracie Gillum.
Yeah. But, like, she did Some Kind of Hate,
yeah,
and she was in Tales of Halloween.
Yeah.
And I was, like, immediately, like, who is this? Like, I really liked her. And then, like, nothing. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
For a few years. So, like, when you brought it on my radar that, like, she was in this movie that just came out on Shudder, and like the poster art is basically like just three different angry Gracie Gillum faces. I'm like, I am so in. And I thought it was fun. I didn't think it was like a great, great movie, but like I enjoyed it in the same way that I would enjoy like an indie discovery at like the Bruce Campbell Horror Fest or like Cinepocalypse or something like that. Right. So yeah, and I think it has some funny stuff to say about YouTubers, which I won't spoil, but I think they make some critiques towards the end that are sort of really kind of biting, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I enjoyed it like you. Had we gone to see it at a festival, it would have been like, well, that was fun, and then I probably would have more or less forgotten it.
Yeah.
Because it is pretty straightforward. It kind of tells you right up front, this is what this is, and then it never really strays from that.
Yeah.
Which bummed me out. I could have used, like, a left turn or two.
Yeah.
And there really aren't any. Barbara Crampton shows up, always a welcome presence.
Yes.
She's very enjoyable in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only four people in the cast. It's the couple and Gracie Gillum and Barbara Crampton. So when 50% of your cast is Gracie Gillum and Barbara Crampton, that's a movie worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like 80 minutes.
Yeah. And I like that Gracie Gillum in 2021 looks like a waitress at a diner that I go to every weekend. So I'm just like, wait a minute.
This seems like the kind of movie that would get her more work.
I hope so.
Not that she shouldn't have gotten more work before, but she's kind of the whole show here.
Yeah, and it's a very flashy part. Yeah. It's definitely like something where, yeah, if they ever wanted to call on her to do another villainous part.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. Let me figure out what I've seen. the other day I rewatched The Mind's Eye, which is Joe Bigas' second movie. Did you
remember
see it?
That? I never saw it, but I remember that. Yeah.
I really like it. You know, I was a little bit mixed on Almost Human because it was like, well, this guy clearly has talent, but had zero budget to work with. But you know, it's a good like demo reel for a director. Has more money to work with in The Mind's Eye, and The Mind's Eye, you know, is unfortunately like kind of a reference movie.
Yeah.
So it's like Scanners and The Fury and John Carpenter music and neon lighting, and it's like everything that indie horror has become.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit ahead of that curve, and it combines the elements in a satisfying way. All the cast is like who's who of indie horror. So it's Graham Skipper and Matt Mercer and Lauren Ashley Carter and Larry Fessenden and Jeremy Gardner.
Yeah.
The guy that did The Battery.
It's a real glass-eyed picks type cast.
Yeah. So it's fun, you know, if you like those people like I do, it's like, hey, cool. It's a movie full of recognizable, enjoyable faces.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I have the Blu-ray. So.
Okay.
I finally saw on the non horror tip. I finally saw No Sudden Move, the new Steven Soderbergh.
Okay,
I liked it.
Yeah,
you know, again, here's a really good director directing a pretty incredible cast in a little scrappy crime movie. Can't really disappoint me there.
Yeah.
Cast is really good. The cinematography, which you talked about, I feel like, on the Best of Summer show, it's very strange.
Well, I only watched like the opening scene of it. Yeah. I haven't finished it. But yeah, it's like
it does that
weird fisheye
lens
thing. Yeah.
And I don't totally know why. Where it bends at the sides, you know, and maybe it gives you a larger frame to work with, because in theory you're seeing more picture information the way that it bends. But he's not working with, like, he's working with, like, the insides of offices and, like,
maybe he wants
a suburban house and, like.
Yeah. Maybe he wants you to see things like John Cryer in Hot Shots.
Maybe. Who
just
was
the
John
thought.
Cryer? What was his name in Hot Shots?
I don't remember. It was just the guy who, like, couldn't see well.
The only one I can remember is Dead Meat. But that
I think it
John
was
Cryer.
Dead Meat.
No. Dead Meat dies.
Oh, okay.
John Cryer does not. Yeah. Spoilers for Hot Shots, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Dead Meat was that guy who was Tim Allen's worthless brother on Home Improvement.
I've never seen Home Improvement.
And I think he was married to Tammy Lauren.
In real life?
No, on Home Improvement.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was on Home
Improvement. She did an arc
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's
what I call the good episodes.
the Lauren years.
Yeah.
I watched, Erica and I watched the Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre.
I feel like I've seen this three times just because it's been at the places that I go to, I feel target marketed.
Okay. Well, because
like Flashback Weekend, it was a premiere there.
Yeah.
I had like a weird D.B. Sweeney fascination for a little while, for like a fortnight.
D.B. Sweeney.
And then, yeah, he's in it. I play at the Music Box. I follow Dan Geyer on Facebook, and he talks about it, and he's like sharing like interviews that he did on it and stuff.
It played at the Music Box?
Yeah, for like a one night thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's playing. Oh, it already played.
Yeah.
Last weekend at the Midway Drive-In.
Yeah,
there
was another
one. They
did
their all night horror marathon, and they played it again.
Yeah.
So. It's entertaining. I would recommend it more to like wrestling fans, which I know you're not. Because that was the most interesting stuff to me. You know, it centers on these two characters, the Manson brothers, who are doing a midnight match, and a zombie outbreak happens in the arena, and they have to fight off zombies. So it's pretty straightforward. But there's a lot of like ins and outs of independent wrestling that I thought was really interesting, more so than the zombie stuff. Once the zombie stuff happens, it's like, well, I've seen this in maybe 1,000 movies before.
Got it.
But it's still like entertaining. The two wrestlers who play the leads, they also wrote it, and their characters are funny, and they stay pretty funny and engaging throughout. There's a good setup for a sequel. I liked it enough. I was surprised because I have to admit, when it played Flashback, I kind of had no interest in seeing it.
Yeah.
I was like, I guess I'll skip that. And then I talked to somebody who was there who gave it very high marks the next day. He was like, oh, actually, it was really entertaining. It was really good. So that put it on my radar, and I wanted to see it. It's available to rent on Amazon right now, which is how I saw it.
That's good.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like when I heard about Hatchet for the first time, or like Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer, and I'm just like, surely
movies
these can't
like.
Be good. And
right.
then I watched them, I'm like, wait a minute, these are really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the only other movie I'll talk about is just today I rewatched The Dark Half, which I feel like is a movie I watch almost every September because it puts me in the fall mood. It's one of my favorite. I just changed my Letterboxd top four to my four favorite Romeros. And I was like, I got to put The Dark Half in there, even though that meant leaving out Night of the Living Dead and Day of the Dead, which I love both of. But I was like, nope, got to put The Dark Half in there. I just really love The Dark Half. I think it's really undersung George Romero. I don't know how you feel about it.
I only saw it once.
Oh, okay.
I didn't love it,
yeah.
But it's the type of movie that I feel like I want to rewatch at some point.
I think you might like it more now.
Okay. I'm just not the biggest like Timothy Hutton guy.
I wouldn't say I am either.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's anybody in the cast. Like, Amy Madigan plays his wife. I'm not
a
big Amy Madigan
guy. I like
guy.
Rooker.
Rooker's good, but he's, like, kind of miscast almost.
Okay.
Because he's playing, like, the nice guy sheriff.
Oh, yeah.
And Chelsea Field is in it
for two scenes.
She barely has any lines. I'm like, you're wasting Chelsea Field. This is inexcusable.
Mrs. Hellenbeck.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So that was a disappointment that they didn't give Chelsea Field more to do. But I love that movie.
And I don't know why, but when you said fall mood, it made me think like, oh, if you word scramble that, it's mall food.
Oh.
And I just want to
What's your favorite mall food?
That's the thing. I just want to give a quick shout out to Sarku Japan.
Oh, wow.
Chicken teriyaki.
Didn't see that coming.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Just try a free sample and you will want to get it.
Which mall has Sarku Japan?
I used to go to the one at the Hawthorne Mall because it was near my work, but I've been working from home for 2 years almost, so no Sarku for Risku.
Shit, we burned through a lot of movies really quickly.
Yeah.
And well, now we have to talk about Mirrors.
we could talk about other movies longer.
I guess I just don't know what else to talk about that I've seen lately, because so much of it is for, like,
We could start it like in January and just go through your letterbox. It would be like a real, like, you know, day in the life.
Yeah, I've been watching stuff like, this isn't a spoiler. I've been watching like the Hammer Dracula movies for the podcast I'm doing with JB.
Yep.
Had to watch our commentary movie twice.
Yes.
Once without us recording, once with.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed that it appears Shudder, at least as of yet, did not post the Elvira.
Tomorrow, I
think. It's tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Because
I want to watch those. And then, yeah, I need to watch The Good Son again before October, because I rented it.
Oh.
And my rental's going to expire.
Yeah, right.
And then I need to watch 13 Ghosts for an article.
The Lillard
joint, one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have to rewatch that.
That was on Shudder for a time, but I think it's gone already.
Yeah, it's not on there. Because I went through Shudder today, and I was like adding things to my queue.
Oh, nice.
So I'm up to 10 movies, but I'll add an 11th because I want to watch that VHS 94.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
When does it? October
6th, I think?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm excited about that.
I am too. More so than Mirrors.
Yes.
But I want to...
Speaking of Mirrors.
Yeah. Walk us through the whole... Your genesis, like the genesis of this episode and your history with Mirrors.
I don't remember what year it was, but I brought up on a scary movie. I years ago bought a used Blu-ray of Mirrors because it was like maybe $2.
Nobody ever bought that movie new.
No, you don't think so?
No, I think they're all resale copies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I was going to watch it one October, and then it came to the show that I do with Mike, and I at the end of the month, and I was like, oh, man, I forgot to watch Mirrors. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to that joke probably three more times, and then the following year brought the joke up again. And then at a certain point, I had no intention of ever watching Mirrors and was just going to always not watch it in October.
Yeah.
But when episode 600 came up, I felt like, no, this is the right time. I thought it might be funny one year to watch Mirrors 2, just to spite Mirrors.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I still haven't seen Mirrors 2.
Yeah. You kind of nullified one of our Friday night double features once. I put so Mirrors was the one that you put.
Did I?
You put number one, you put Mirrors. So I was like, what's the theme? What do I pair it with Mirrors? And I paired it with London After Midnight.
Very nice.
And the theme was movies Patrick will never see.
That's a good theme.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, like, that double feature, it played. Like London After Midnight, the one showing that happened since the 1920s. I mean, like, it was a sellout. People enjoyed it. It's a good night.
It was weird that they had to watch Mirrors first.
Yeah.
All 2 hours of it.
Well, you gotta earn it. You know.
Alex Aja is a weird filmmaker.
Yeah. I was looking through his filmography and I couldn't agree with that sentiment more.
Very inconsistent.
Yes.
And it's almost like every other movie works.
And it's, he's like, vacillates between like schlocky and like faux classy. Also, have you noticed that?
Would you call this faux classy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I feel like this is very much trying to be, like, and when I say faux classy, I mean, like, the difference between, like, Argento and Fulci.
Right, okay.
Like, I think, like, this one should be, like, a Dark Castle movie with a nu metal soundtrack, but it's not. It's, like, you know, got the sheen of, like, Regency Pictures and, like, 20th Century Fox, and it's, like, you think it's going to be almost like an elevated horror movie of some sort.
Right.
And it's just, in my opinion, just kind of dead on arrival.
Yeah, I mean, it's late to the whole J-horror remake party.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know until today that it was officially a remake of a Korean horror film, but I kind of knew, like, just watching it, I'm like, oh, you can tell that this is a remake of something Korean.
Yeah.
All right, I just want to go through his filmography real quick.
Yeah.
So I've never seen Furia, his first movie.
I have not either.
He gets on my radar with High Tension.
I know of it, but I never bothered to watch High Tension.
Okay.
Because I heard the twist ruins High Tension.
For some people.
Okay.
For some people, they still love it. I'm real mixed on it. It's
okay.
Like, oh, it's one of these movies where you can tell it is the work of a very talented filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
but it's a movie that I don't really like revisiting because it's like impossibly ugly and mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It's part of that French extremism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got time for that.
Yeah. I mean, I was real put off by it when Erica and I went to see it theatrically. Mm-hmm. I've come around to it because, again, there's no denying his talent watching that movie, but it's an unpleasant movie.
Yeah.
Then he does the Hills Have Eyes remake.
Yes.
Which I think is really good.
Okay. I saw it one time in theaters opening weekend, and I still haven't seen the Wes Craven Hills Have Eyes. So I've seen the remake, but I have not seen the original. Same thing with, well, actually, I haven't seen either Last House on the Left.
Okay.
But the Hills Have Eyes remake really rubbed me the wrong way. And it rubbed me the wrong way to the point where I swore off ever watching that, the sequel, or the original Wes Craven and its sequel. So, like, I maybe have softened on that over the years, but I remember having, like, a really strong, like, visceral reaction against Hills Have Eyes. And it was like, I'm just like, you can't do that to Vanessa Shaw and stuff like that. Right. But, like, it's a dark, dark movie.
It is. Yeah. The Wes Craven original is easier to watch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm surprised. Yeah.
It is. It's not as, it doesn't go to the places that Last House on the Left goes to.
Yeah.
So if you need to see any of them, the Wes Craven original is, I think, fairly easy to get through.
Okay.
I really like the Alex Aja one, but I'll come back to it in a sec. The sequels to both are dog shit.
Okay.
So you don't ever have to see those.
That's good to know.
They're real, real bad.
Okay.
We went to see the Hills Have Eyes remake opening night, Erica and myself, and it was playing in one of the big theaters at AMC.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a little bit early, so the audience came out from the previous showing, and there was a father and son who were high-fiving like they had just ridden Flight of Passage. Like, that was awesome!
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, like a son who was like maybe 11.
Oh, boy.
And so the whole movie, so then we go in, we sit down, we see this movie, and the whole time I'm like, oh, my God, that 11-year-old saw this? Oh, my God, they were high-fiving over this? Oh, my God, what dad brings his 11-year-old son to this?
Yeah.
I was very distracted on that first viewing by seeing those two high-five.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, that's...
It's rough stuff. It's
chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Mirrors.
Yeah.
And he kind of shits the bed.
Yeah, yeah, I really don't like Mirrors.
No.
Didn't he do P2, like, right around then?
He produced P2.
Oh, I thought he directed P2.
No,
also.
He was a producer on P2.
Okay.
Which I've never seen.
Yeah, neither have I.
P2 was, like, the year before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw Mirrors on DVD, like, when it first came. I didn't see it in theaters, but when it first came out on DVD, I watched it. And I remember not liking it and never thinking about it much again until it got brought up in the F This Movie consciousness by you keeping it alive. So, like, when...
You're welcome, Mirrors.
So, when you suggested, like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we did Mirrors as the 600th episode, The genesis of the idea was the high point of the experience and maybe this show too, because like at least we get to, you know, hang out and talk about it. But like I knew the work was going to not be it is what it is. It's Mirrors is Mirrors. Mirrors is a dull horror movie. It's a very like Sunday at 4 p.m. like, oh, God, I got to go to work tomorrow type of horror movie.
It's got kind of a bad concept.
Yeah.
It's got an even worse explanation.
Yes.
It's one of those. One memorable sequence.
Which is?
The Amy Smart scene.
Oh, yeah.
I think. I don't like that scene.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, A, Amy Smart is better than this, than getting two scenes in Mirrors, and one of which she has to be naked and just destroyed.
Almost in like a 30-second span.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I don't like to see Amy Smart suffer.
Yeah, I don't either. I think she's amazing. And you tweeted out, like, basically, like, she deserved better in her career between, like, her treatment
being
in Crank
by Jason Statham.
And, yeah, her death in Mirrors, which, I mean, I think it's, like, a mixture of, like, a practical effect and, like, a CGI effect. The practical effect is pretty impressive in a Fangoria kind of way.
Yes.
The CGI is not so much, but it's kind of confusing to me that Amy Smart, you would think, is kind of like an asset to being in a movie like Mirrors, and like she's killed off, spoilers, in like around like 45 minutes into like a 110-minute movie.
And is more or less the last person killed off. This is a horror movie with a body count of 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's the nun, her, and then the original
guy
security
in the
guard.
Opening. Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. This movie is like, you know, it does the whole like, let's stop cold from the third act for like nun stuff.
Which I
never
was
works
not,
in a horror movie.
I was not into. Except
I was not
Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm biting my tongue.
Exceptions to everything.
Yeah.
But, I just watched an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation the other day that Alice was on, by the way.
Oh, Lisa Wilcox?
Yeah.
What was she doing in it?
She was making out with Riker.
Well, as you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who the lucky one is. Oh, wait, I do. I like Jonathan Frakes, but.
Sure.
But yeah, but does he have a horror-themed escape room?
I don't think so.
He should. Yeah, this came out at a weird time where it's like Amy Smart's mainstream career is maybe fading. Kiefer Sutherland is like more in demand than he's been in like 20 years.
Well, so it's a perfect example of this phenomenon that I feel like was probably talked about on Blank Check. I feel like that's the first time I really heard this articulated, this idea that like male actors get 40-year careers no matter how much they fail.
Yeah.
Female actors get maybe 4 years in which they need to break through and become huge. And if they don't, they're relegated to like Hallmark movies.
Yeah. Or like Adam Sandler's wife or something.
Right.
Or actually even that, they're like
big
huge stars.
Names, right. Have played Adam Sandler's wife. But or they're the third lead in Mirrors and they die horribly in a bathtub.
Yeah. It's, it's a shame. Like, cause she was really funny. Like she's great in comedy. And Yeah, I also her character is odd because they make a point of like she has to declare that she's Kiefer Sutherland's sister like more than once.
It's they set that up right away because he's like, "Hey, sis."
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's more like, "Hey, sis."
Damn it!
He explodes in rage at her like he does at everybody in this movie.
Yeah. But, he says, "Hey, sis," like he wakes her up and stuff. And then, like, at her bedside table is a picture of her getting kissed on the cheek by Kiefer Sutherland. And I'm just like, no brother and sister would do that. Like, it's just like, you might, like, really think, like, your sibling's the best, but you don't have on your bedside table a picture of them kissing you on the cheek. It's just like, Alexander Aja is clearly an only child, and he's just like, he's like, "This is what brothers and sisters
do. I wish I had a sibling to kiss me on the cheek.
I would take a picture and I would remember it.
I put it on my bedside table.
When you wish upon a star, I dream for sibling.
Kiss me on the cheek, Jack Bauer. Damn it. Say damn it.
My flat line felt a blip when Jack Bauer kissed me on the cheek. Have you seen The Sentinel?" I apologize to Alexander Aja and the people of Spain. I think he's Spanish.
I thought he was French.
Maybe he's French. I'm sorry. I apologize to the people of France and Alexander Aja.
Yeah.
There's another moment later in the movie where he's like losing it in the bathroom, and then she's just
shit.
I do appreciate that a little bit because like a person in that, you know, if this was happening in someone's life, they probably wouldn't be very eloquent at a certain point. They would just probably be like, "God damn it," like all the time.
I
but like
guess.
Seeing it in a movie is a little weird.
because that's his one mode.
Yeah.
You know, is like he's just hanging on by a thread the entire movie. And part of the problem, too, is that he figures out what's going on
very quickly.
Again, around the 45-minute mark, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, I know there's over an hour left in this movie.
Yeah.
So we've lost his sister already.
Yeah.
He knows what's happening. What's the next hour? Him trying to convince Paula Patton what's going on?
Yeah, but then, yeah. No. This movie sucks. It's also, like, the problem with it, too, is, and, you know, I don't think this is, like, if you fail this test, your movie's bad, because, and this is the only time I'll invoke The Shining when talking about mirrors, but, like, at the beginning of The Shining, a common complaint is, like, well, he's crazy at the beginning.
Right.
But I feel like in Mirrors, he's already, like, on edge and, like, raw and stuff. It would be so much more interesting if... You could still have that backstory that he accidentally shot, like, his partner, I think, or, like, another cop. He accidentally shot another cop. But, like, how much more interesting would it be if he's not, like, you know, on you know, like, crazy and, like, messed up, if he, like, thought that he was rehabilitated and he's, like, doing better now.
Okay.
And then he's, like, feeling like, oh, no, is my sanity kind of cracking a little bit because I'm... witnessing all this stuff with this mirror phenomena but I mean, he's already like high strung, so he's got nowhere to go except for playing that note the whole movie.
It was a mistake to give him that backstory, mostly because it doesn't really inform anything about his character except that he's like strung out and desperate. He's not drinking anymore, but he's like crushing painkillers. Does that do something if you crush them? That seems like a movie thing. Do they absorb into your body faster?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, that's something that...
Somebody listening knows and they're annoyed with us right now that we don't know. But in movies, they're constantly crushing their pills.
Yes. I mean, what it reminded me of is, like, when I was a little kid and, like, I couldn't swallow pills, so my mom would, like, open up the capsule and, like, pour the little seeds in, like, applesauce, and then all I would do was throw up the applesauce.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, yeah, that's Mirrors. vomited applesauce is my pull quote for the poster.
Very nice.
Very nice. I am Spanish. Mirrors. Are you a fan of Kiefer Sutherland overall? That's where I am.
I like 80s Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. Late 80s, early 90s, I think is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Erica and I used to watch 24 and we enjoyed it, but not because of Kiefer Sutherland. It was just like, it was right when TV on DVD became a thing.
Yeah.
So we would buy a season and what they would call now binge it.
Yeah.
Because it was that kind of show where the last 2 minutes of every episode was like, well, shit, now I have to press play on the next one.
Yeah.
So we had so much fun doing that. I don't know that 24 was a particularly good show and couldn't sustain that model, because it's just like, how many times can I be like, oh, I have to save the president. Damn it.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm the designated survivor. Right. I haven't watched that show.
Yeah, I haven't either.
His film career doesn't particularly interest me after a certain point.
Yeah, I thought he was really interesting in like the late 80s, like with Bright Lights, Big City and The Lost Boys and Flatliners,
Stand By Me.
Yeah, and then there was like a big period around like the cowboy way where it's like just nothing was really hitting for me.
He's maybe miscast in the cowboy way.
He's good in Phone Booth.
Sure.
But after that, there wasn't really anything.
Who was the original voice in Phone Booth? Do you remember?
Wasn't it Eldard?
Was it Eldard?
I think it was Eldard.
What would that have sounded like?
He would have just been like,
I know, like, you have
Colin? Colin Farrell? Do not hang up the phone. Are you dating Katie Holmes?
You're the only person I know that has an Eldard, so I knew I could set that up. And you would
Juliana?
Not
disappoint. Juliana? I got to the set for during my call time, but the door was locked. What should I do?
Kiefer Sutherland was a good replacement.
He was, yes, yes. He definitely has sinister in his voice.
Yeah, I kind of like him in Dark City doing like a weird Peter Lorre thing.
I've never seen Dark City the whole way through.
Really?
It's funny too, because the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, this movie couldn't be more for me.
Yeah.
And then just, it's like it got 4 stars and that made me like not want to watch it.
It's really good.
I know it's really good. I mean, like, I know you guys did a show on it and everything, and I don't know. It's just, I think I'm just too cool for Sewell.
I guess so.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing with me and Kiefer Sutherland is just like, I like him in spots of his career, but like this era of his career was when he kind of was like taking advantage of that heat that he had from 24 and he was the lead in movies again. He did this in, like, The Sentinel, and then he kind of just as quickly went back to
TV
stuff. His last movie I looked up was the 2017 remake of Flatliners, where he has a cameo, but he's not playing the same character that he played in the original Flatliners,
which is
part and parcel to that movie, because it just screws up everything. But, that was one of the first reserved seatings, I think. You're welcome, Rob.
The Flatliners remake?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was one of the first ones.
It.
Yeah.
Kind of. Oh, he's in Pompeii? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
He's good in Melancholia.
He is. Melancholia is a good movie.
He does a voice in Marmaduke. Damn it!
He did a voice in Monsters vs. Aliens.
I remember that. It was
the
monster that keeps going, fuck! Damn it!
God damn it!
By the way, his character's name is Ben Carson, which was like that awful
I never put that
presidential...
He was the HUD guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ran for president.
Shit!
Former surgeon. Zero qualifications.
Yeah. Well, you know, only the best people.
Yeah, I just pissed somebody off, so that's fine.
Whatever. If they're like, seriously, how
is
far
Ben
are we...
Ben Carson in the hill we're going to die on?
How far are we into this episode?
I'll tell you. Hold on. About 46 minutes.
If somebody went 46 minutes deep in the Mirrors episode and that's like where they bail because we offended them personally, I'm sorry, but that's hilarious. That is fucking funny. Anyways.
Congratulations, by the way, if anyone made it 46 minutes into the Mirrors episode.
Alexander Asch, I'll give him this.
Yeah.
He made this movie when he was 30 years old, which I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's younger than me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, like, how young he is. So,
yeah.
And because he's had, you know, what, like, probably almost 10 movies at this point.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Can we talk about Aja movies?
Yeah, so we were kind of doing that. We stopped at Mirrors.
Yeah.
He bounces back from Mirrors with Piranha 3D.
Which I think is my favorite of his movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yes.
I don't know if it's like a good movie, but it delivers on all the things that you want, which kind of makes it good.
I think it over-delivers on what you want out of Piranha and 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some really fun performances in there, particularly by Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. Damn it.
Also of Stand By Me.
Damn it. Shit.
Do you think he asked, like, what was it like working with Kiefer on, with my old Stand By Me castmate, Kiefer, on Mirrors?
Probably. Do you know who hated working with Kiefer?
Who?
On 24? Freddie Prinze Jr.
Really?
Freddie Prinze Jr., who seems like the nicest person ever.
He does seem very nice.
He said that...
That was after I stopped watching by the time Freddie Prinze came around.
Yeah, there's like a quote, I think, on IMDb where he basically says, like, I don't talk bad about anybody, but I'll talk bad about Kiefer Sutherland because apparently he was such a prick. And,
wow.
Like, he was making fun of him, especially because he's short and he had to stand on a box in order to act alongside Freddie Prinze Jr.
Damn it!
Shit!
Get me a box! I have to save the president!
I'm the designated survivor!
After Piranha 3D is Horns.
I never saw Horns.
I don't think Horns works.
Okay.
I have not read the Joe Hill book, although I own it, but I do not think the movie works.
No.
Then The Ninth Life of Louis Drax, which I'm not convinced exists.
I don't think it does, because I'm pretty plugged in, and like I have never even heard of that.
I had heard of it when it came out. I remember Heather talking about it,
okay.
But I did not see it, and... May not see it. The lead is Jamie Dornan.
Oh.
so I'm not rushing to see it. Although no. he certainly earned us some Barb and Star goodwill.
Yes, he did.
And then Crawl.
Which I think is my second favorite of his movies. I really enjoy Crawl.
Crawl is very good.
Yes.
Crawl is what more movies should aspire to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean because it has killer alligators, although yeah. that part is really fun. And it very much delivers on that. But I'm just talking about, like, Crawl does what Mirrors doesn't do in terms of economy of storytelling by setting up the relationship between the father and the daughter very early and giving us some actual dramatic stakes, whether or not any alligators show up.
Yep.
And Mirrors tries to do that in terms of, like, will Ben Carson get back with his family?
And I don't know why, but sometimes I have, like, a sensitivity to this in not just horror movies, but in all movies, when, like, a parent is kind of losing it, and then their family has to be, like, subject to watching them lose it in front of them.
Sure.
And I don't know why, but I think I just, you know, I wasn't on this movie's side at any point while I was watching it this time, but, like, there was a point towards the end of the movie where Paula Patton has a mirror image that's, like, attacking one of their children, is attacking the daughter, and she's got, like, a little hand scissors, like, to her neck, and, like, it, they just make, like, one cut. It's, like, a cut that's maybe, like, a couple of inches, but I thought it was in such poor taste that, like, it really, really bothered me. And it might just be because there's kids in my family who are, like, a similar age, but, like, I found it, like, really upsetting, and it made me, like, almost want to just stop it, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm taking a mulligan on the last, like, 10 minutes of Mirrors.
Well, it's from a different movie, because the Alex Aja who made High Tension, that scene makes sense.
Yeah.
And the Amy Smart scene makes sense, because those scenes really are going for it in an uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
But the rest of the movie is so, like, neutered and would-be classy.
Yeah.
I am making a studio picture. Mm-hmm. I will make it very classy.
I'm going to build up my bona fides.
Sounds like Pacino doing a French accent.
What a picture. Mirrors. I saw it twice. But once.
So it's a movie that's a little bit at war with itself.
Yeah.
I have not seen Alex Aja's most recent movie, Oxygen, which was a Netflix movie.
I was going to ask you about that. I think, like, when I sign up for Netflix at the end of the year for 1 month to catch up on everything, I'll probably watch it. Because I've heard good things about it, and I like Melanie
Laurent.
Yeah, I
heard good
things,
too. I do, too. Yeah. But I, for whatever reason, didn't watch it the weekend it came out. And as is the way with streaming, it's like, then I forgot it existed. Because the next weekend, there's 15 new streaming titles that I need to catch up on.
Totally. Yeah. Mirrors is not good.
Can I share my favorite line in Mirrors?
Of course. I've got one too.
Is it about water?
Yeah.
Be careful of the water. It
creates,
can cause
reflections.
It can create reflections.
And Paula Patton's like, man, that's good to know. Thank
Kiefer you. Kiefer Sutherland at one point has to explain to Paula Patton how water works.
Yeah. Did Paula Patton have the career she deserved?
No, of course not. She's another one who got kind of a shot around Mission Impossible Ghost Protes.
Yeah, you would think that
would
have
become,
like,
a gigantic star based on that.
Like, Baggage Claim.
Right. That's her, like, one leading role.
Yeah.
And then I haven't heard much from her. And I know she went through, like, a divorce, and maybe things are rough. I can't obviously speculate on her personal life, but I miss seeing her show up and stuff.
I do, too.
Because I really like her.
Yeah. And I also was bummed when I saw Cameron Boyce as the son.
Yeah,
because that's a bummer. Because, people in my family are big, like, Descendants fans. So I see him, and it's just like, man, well, enough said about that.
R.I.P. Cameron
Boyce. R.I.P. Cameron Boyce. But, yeah, this is the type of movie where, like, I should love it because it's got, like, library research scenes, and, like, we have to go talk to the nuns and stuff like that.
Talk to the guy who can point us in the direction of the guy who can point us in the direction of the nuns.
Yes.
Basically.
And then, like, we learn about Kiefer Sutherland's backstory by him having a box of newspaper clippings with the newspaper clipping like hanging out of the box.
Why, if you accidentally shot and killed a police officer?
Yeah, you scrapbook that shit.
On the job, do you clip that out and save it in your one box of memories?
He must have some really bad memories if that's one of the keepers. Jeez. It's like, yeah. I went to the Christmas banquet. It was not a good idea. Yeah, no, this is one of those movies where, like, I feel like even though Kiefer Sutherland was kind of, like, having, like, a career bump at the moment, like, I feel embarrassed for him almost in this movie. And, like, I just hope he got paid well.
Sure, I would assume so. It's a big studio movie.
Yeah, because, yeah, it really just calls on him to be like, fuck!
Damn it!
Damn it!
Yeah, he gets subsumed by CGI fire at one point.
Yeah, and then he's just like, ah! And I'm not exaggerating.
No, that's the sound that he makes.
Yeah.
His half of his face droops at one point in a bad CGI effect.
Yeah. Yeah, and then instead of, like, him saying, like, oh my, what? Like, that's how a person would react to that.
Right.
They'd be like, what? He's just like, fuck!
Damn it!
Like, falls to the ground, Amy Smart's just
and those
like,
are the first two instances of him seeing something wrong in the mirrors. It's like, shouldn't it start small? Shouldn't it be little things here and there?
You
and then
think so. And this frustrates me a little bit because I think the setup of this reminded me of, shit, I can't remember the title of the episode, but it's a Twilight Zone episode where the After Hours, where like there's a department store and a woman works at the department store and she's new to the job. And then like she realizes that like after hours, it's basically like the mannequins came to life.
Yeah.
And
that's
then,
like a weird.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
But I've totally seen that one.
It's a very good one.
Yeah.
And like the spoiler for this episode of Twilight Zone, at the end she understands that she's a mannequin, and that sort of like mirrors because he becomes
part of the mirror.
But like
he's
also
in the mirror universe,
and also like but him like becoming part of the mirror is such a stupid twist ending because it's got nothing thematic to do with
Correct.
Anything.
It just is going to keep him away from his family, and we wanted him to be reunited with his family, so it's the movie's last fuck you to the audience.
Yeah.
Because if you wanted him to reunite, now you're not going to get that because he's stuck in the mirror universe.
Yeah, and like we, you know, obviously he killed the other cop, but it's like not something where he was like trying to get away with it or like he deserves
he
to come up
and doing a penance.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found it really confusing that, all right, so he's shown the ropes by an older security guard, this guy Lorenzo, and Lorenzo doesn't seem to have ever had any problems in this place.
No.
Yet, the first security guard in the prologue went crazy and dies. And then Kiefer Sutherland goes crazy very quickly. But this guy's spared. And, like, the only thing I could put together is because, like, he decided just to continue working there. And maybe it's, like, when you try to leave, that's when it gets angry at you. So, to Kiefer Sutherland,
I chalk it up to day shift.
Yeah, maybe. Could be that.
I don't think that's it, but he does work the day shift and Kiefer works the night.
It's so weird.
Yeah, no, it's real stupid.
Yeah, I mean,
did
it's
you watch like, the rated or the unrated cut?
I watched probably the rated one.
Okay.
It was just a rental on Amazon.
Okay, I wonder what the differences were. I watched the unrated again because I have the Blu-ray.
Damn it.
That opening scene where the old security guard slits his throat again. It like you get some of the old Aja in there because it like dwells on it a little bit too long, just to show you the effect, just to rub your nose and like, isn't this gross, isn't this bloody? You get the idea pretty quickly, like, oh, he slit his throat, he's going to die, but then it keeps showing the wound. And it's kind of the same with the Amy Smart thing. It hangs on it a little bit too long.
Yeah.
I think in the interest of being, you know, kind of extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing those were unrated additions.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, the Amy Smart scene was pretty graphic.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. I might have seen the unrated one because I do remember at the beginning, like, they held on that shot for a while.
Okay.
So, yeah. Whatchamacallit.
I think the unrated just has more damn it's.
Yeah, that, it's like this could have been NC-17, but we cut 30 damn it's. And then, like, if you were on the fence about this movie at all, which I can't imagine you would be, but like if you were on the Nobody fence about is. This movie at all in like the last 20 minutes, then like it turns into like the demon from S-Smart at Army of Darkness is like the mirrors demon, gosh. And comes out of nowhere, yeah, and like he has to impale works. It and explode right. it and stuff. It's just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, he destroys all the mirrors. Well, the nun destroys all the mirrors
yeah.
and is eviscerated in the process.
Yes.
And you think it's kind of over, but of course it's not, because there's still 20 minutes left in this goddamn movie. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, the mirror ghost takes physical form, and now he's fighting a guy in a suit.
Yeah. Mirrors, everybody. And then one thing that I found, this is how bored I was when I was watching this movie. Like, I was like, why does Anna Esiker, who's the name of like the nun who's was schizophrenic and like her mirror image was evil and got like consumed by the mirrors and all this stuff like that. And this is like in a department store, right? And like it used right. to be like a psychiatric hospital.
Naturally.
Yeah, as you do. But, like, yeah, her brother, I was like, who plays her brother? That guy looks familiar. And it was the guy who played Donovan from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there you go.
I have an IMDb trivia about the name Esiker.
Okay.
I have to find it.
While you're finding it, I also find it funny that this is one of those movies that's so boring yet ridiculous that, like, towards the end of the movie, there's a furious, like, suspense montage where they're just painting over mirror,
oh, yeah.
over glass
yeah,
with,
yeah, yeah.
like, green paint.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, no, this is.
And again,
working.
Paula Patton probably comes around on it too soon, too, in terms of the movie clock.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of want to wait till Act 3.
Yeah, the moment where she recognizes it should have happened a little later, but like
yeah.
it's a good moment as far as when
sure.
she would, like, realize
right.
it.
Right.
I don't mean it's like it's a good moment, but like, in terms of like, oh,
right.
I believe something's off. Like,
yes.
That would make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the IMDb trivia. The name Esiker is an anagram for seekers.
Mm-hmm.
This can be an appropriate terminology for the demons who live on the other side of the mirrors, seeking out their host, Anna Esiker.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody thought of that and wrote it on IMDb.
I think I know who thought of that.
Alexander Aja?
Do you remember the Mummy Kid?
Kind of.
Do
you think he was in charge of trivia on on mirrors?
He wasn't, but he has a brother.
Oh.
It's Mirrors Kid.
Mirrors Kid. Damn it!
Fuck! My parents said that my brother should be left to his own devices, but I said, I've got stuff to contribute to Hollywood, too.
Can we put some more cursing in this movie, please?
I specifically like to hear Kiefer Sutherland curse words.
Here's a memorable quote from IMDb.
Okay.
It's from Gary Lewis, the security guard
okay.
at the beginning.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah.
After opening window and seeing that it doesn't lead anywhere. Here's the line.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Who wrote the script to this movie?
That would be Mirrors Kid. No. He has Aja wrote it with Gregory Levasseur.
Okay.
Based on the movie Into the Mirror, the Korean movie Into the Mirror.
But I don't just like mirrors. I also like other films with mirrors in it. I like Mirror Mask. I'm a little, it's a little esoteric, but like I enjoy it nonetheless.
I'm sorry if you're not into avant-garde cinema, guys.
When Mirror Mirror came out, I was twice as excited as I was than I thought I would be.
I tried to get Lily Collins to curse a lot, but she wasn't. My mic died. Shit. Sorry, guys. The second IMDb quote from
yeah.
Ben Carson, muttering to himself while in the Mayflower store, fuck this place. all of the quotes on IMDb have curses in them.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you got to be careful of the water. It creates reflections. It's in there explaining how water works.
I love this. It's good stuff. Do you want to talk about 2008 horror movies?
Yes.
Because I want to see... I mean...
I would love to.
It's almost pointless to ask you better or worse than Mirrors.
There
maybe?
Might be worse.
Okay. All right. All right. Better or worse than Mirrors? Teeth.
Okay. Better.
The Funny Games remake.
I never saw it because life is too short.
Yeah. I don't know why I took the dive on that one, but I did not
appreciate it. Did you ever see the original?
No.
Okay.
No. Diary of the Dead.
I'm going to say better just because it's Romero.
Yeah.
And it's trying to do something. I think it's probably a little bit more incompetent than Mirrors, mm-hmm. because Mirrors is more or less competently made.
Yeah.
Diary of the Dead is a big, big mess, but at least it has ideas. So.
This is true. Mother of Tears.
2008 is kicking my ass. All right. I would rather watch Mother of Tears because at least it's 2 hours of Ozzy Argento versus 2 hours of Kiefer.
Yeah. The Prom Night remake.
Wow.
There are some good ones, but I haven't gotten to those yet.
Damn it.
Shit.
Fuck this place. Could you try it again, but could you really put an emphasis on the F word when you say it? Like, fuck this place.
It's like, I don't want to tell you how to channel your back career, but if you could do it a little less the cowboy way and a little bit more bright lights, big city.
You don't come down to where I work and tell me how to drink chocolate milk. Shit.
Remember... You know what my favorite part of Bright Lights, Big City was, Mr. Sutherland? It's when you were doing coke on a mirror.
Be careful of the cocaine. It can cause reflections. Gosh, Mirrors might be better than the Prom Night remake because I can at least remember the Amy Smart scene.
You know who my favorite actor is in the horror genre? Derek Mirrors. I call him close but no cigar, and he's always like, what are you talking about? And I said, don't worry about it.
That is very funny. All right. What else we got?
The Happening.
God damn. I would rather watch The Happening.
Cloverfield.
Be careful of the water, bro. It can create reflections. I teach science.
Don't worry. Your face is going to be great no matter what.
Cloverfield is better than Mirrors.
You know what the weird thing about The Happening is?
What?
I have nothing to say about it.
No, well, that's good.
Mirrors or Quarantine?
I never saw Quarantine.
It's actually pretty good. Okay.
I've seen Rec.
I've seen Rec 2. Okay. Not Rec,
Rec
2.
Also.
I've seen Rec also.
Got it.
It definitely is one of those movies where it's like it's the same movie. So like if you've seen one, you don't need to see the other. Okay. I would give the edge to Quarantine just because it's got a cast that I like and I'm a little bit more familiar with.
Jennifer Carpenter, Jonathan Scheck?
I think he's in it. I know Jay Hernandez is in it. And then there's...
he's crazy beautiful.
What's the name of the guy he is? Yes. Stay away from Kirsten Dunst, Bruce Davison says. who's the guy who is in stuff and he's Tom Cruise's partner in Minority Report? And he was the guy in The Rock who says, I take pleasure in gutting you, boy. He's that guy. He's in Quarantine, I believe.
Okay. I'm not seeing a...
Watch, he's probably not even in Quarantine.
I'm seeing a name that I recognize. Joey King is in Quarantine?
Was she?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your boy, Raed Serbedzic.
Raed Serbedzic.
Yeah.
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 A cloak. A costume. I got it. Okay. Mirrors. I almost forgot the name of the movie.
That Mirrors. We're talking about? Yeah. Mirrors. It's Mirrors.
Mirrors or Poultrygeist?
Oh, I would rather watch Poultrygeist. Night of the Chicken Dead.
Yes. Mirrors or Let the Right One In?
Let the Right One In is a superior movie.
Mirrors or My Name is Bruce?
Never saw My Name is Bruce.
It's not good. I drove in a blizzard to see My Name is Bruce at Landmark Century because Bruce Campbell was there in person.
Okay.
And I remember the evening being fun.
Okay.
And the movie being dog shit.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable when the person is there.
Yeah. Yeah. And he directed it, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mirrors or Shudder with two T's.
Right.
That was another, like, Japanese horror remake.
That's the remake.
Yeah. It's with, like, Joshua Jackson and...
Never saw it.
Somebody else.
I'm confusing it with One Missed Call.
Oh, that at least has Eddie Burns and Shannon Sossaman in it.
Eddie Burns in it.
I remember that got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I went... This was the day that Heath Ledger passed away.
Yikes.
And I remember being, like, kind of upset about it, like, surprisingly upset about it. And then I went to a movie theater by my work, and I'm just like, I just want to take my mind off of it. And I was just like, I'll go see One Missed Call. And I watched it, and I was just like, this movie fucking works. I don't understand why people gave it 0%. And then I tried rewatching it, like, not too long ago, and I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking.
I've had that experience.
I was reeling in grief. And then, okay, Mirrors or Saw 5?
Saw 5 is one of the worst Saw movies.
It is, yeah.
But I would probably rather watch it than Mirrors.
It's got Luke from Gilmore Girls in it.
Yeah, playing like a Kiefer Sutherland-esque character who's just on edge and angry all the time.
Damn it! that was like me watching the Bears this afternoon.
It's like, shit! Damn it! You were the chosen one, Justin Fields.
I'm from Stars Hollow. Damn it.
Damn it.
It's like, Luke, we'll have two coffees to go. Damn it.
Fuck. Fuck this place.
It's like crushing painkillers on the counter. Mirrors or Repo the Genetic Opera?
Wow. 2008 was a shit year for horror movies. Repo.
Mirrors or The Ruins?
I still haven't seen The Ruins. It's my new Mirrors.
Okay.
All right. Everybody tells me I have to watch The Ruins good. And that it's good.
Mirrors or Baghead with Greta Gerwig.
Oh, I saw Baghead. It's like mumblecore horror.
Mumble horror.
Mumble horror. I don't remember liking Baghead at all.
Okay.
But I'll take it over Mirrors.
Mirrors or Jack Brooks Monster Slayer?
Jack Brooks Monster Slayer.
Mirrors or The Signal?
I like The Signal.
That's one that didn't work for me, but I like it more than Mirrors.
Okay. This is The Signal with the three different segments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like two of the segments. I'm not crazy about the third one.
Okay.
But I like the first two.
I don't remember it that well.
Yeah.
Mirrors or Dead Snow?
I guess Dead Snow, even though I don't love that movie.
Okay. And the last one is Mirrors or Jennifer's Body?
Jennifer's Body.
Okay. So maybe that's a good segue because I rented a shit ton of movies today.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
In advance of Scary Movie Month.
All right.
And because this is what we really want to talk about, and not Mirrors.
No.
So Jennifer's Body was on Amazon Prime, so I added that to my watch list because I only saw it opening day and I remember not liking it, but I think that was also like my expectations were one thing. And so many people are like passionate defenders of it that I feel like I'm missing something.
I have rewatched it with that in mind.
Uh-huh.
I'm still not to where everybody is on Jennifer's Body.
Okay. All right.
I think it's like okay to decent.
Okay. Yeah. Anaconda's The Hunt for the Blood Orchid will be watched.
Would that be a Dwight H. Little joint?
It is. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Okay. That's not. I was going through my ad nauseum book.
Okay.
And looking at ads, and that's how I was picking out the ones that I haven't seen or want to revisit. I must have been like really in the mood for like creature features. So, because I added like probably like half of these are like creature features.
Nice.
So that was on Amazon Prime.
Anaconda's Hunt for the Blood Orchid is?
Yes.
Oh, I'll be watching that.
Warlock 2, The Armageddon is on IMDb TV.
Okay.
So I added that.
Yeah, it's not as good as Warlock.
Warlock is so good.
Warlock is pretty great. And
yeah.
Warlock 2 is less great.
Yes. The Cave. Do you remember The Cave?
With Piper Perabo?
And Cole Hauser?
I remember it existing.
And Morris Chestnut?
I
was like,
this is a movie
and
made
Lena
for
Headley?
You. Wow.
I was like, wow, that cast meant nothing to me except for Perabo and Hauser and Chestnut. What am I talking about? It meant something to me back in 05, but I didn't see it.
It's a good cave, Will.
Yeah.
It's a good cave.
Yeah. Got a fucking monster down there, bro. He's just like, hey, monster, your ass is going to be purple when we're done with you. He's just like, hey, Perabo, you need to sign this letter. Show your commitment to the team, Cave.
It's dark. We're in a cave. What could you want? What'd you say? I said, it's dark. We're in a cave. What more could you want?
We need more doctors and lawyers, monster. Don't be fucking stupid and drop out of school. God damn you, Marmy. God damn you, Remy. Willard, the 03 remake.
Okay.
Crispin Glover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never seen Idle Hands.
Really?
No, and I feel like I should have.
I feel like that would be your jam.
Okay.
You might also completely hate it.
We'll see. Yeah, it was $3. Who cares?
Yeah.
I've never seen Existenz, so I will watch that.
That's a fun one.
I've never seen the whole thing of John Carpenter's Vampires, so I will remedy that.
I just rewatched that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I just was in the mood, maybe because of the Carpenter series on Blank Check, but I still don't really like it.
Okay. Because it was announced as a Scream Factory release, or maybe it was just Shout, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Okay.
Even though I know it's not good. But
it's
like
not.
I do like Bram Stoker's Dracula more now than I did in 95, so maybe.
You're ready
know.
For the parody version?
Yeah, and I remember Anne Bancroft being really funny at the beginning.
I remember nothing about the movie. I saw it theatrically, and I remember
I did too.
Nothing about it.
Yeah.
Like, nothing.
Yeah. Return of the Living Dead Part 2, I've never seen. Is that bad?
It's not good.
Okay.
But what's her name's in it, right? Snyder? No.
Suzanne Snyder?
I'm confusing her with the other girl who kind of looks like her.
Oh, no. Is it the Warlock girl? Laurie Singer?
No.
No? Okay.
Hold on. There's right. another actress who reminds me of Suzanne Snyder, but is not Suzanne Snyder.
Okay.
Shit. No, I don't remember her name, so never mind.
And then Mad Love from the 30s.
Yes.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, we talked about that in our double features column.
And then I re-rented Crawl, because I haven't seen that since the theaters.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what's a good thing about Crawl? Is
what?
Like it throws off your movie clock, because you think based off of the beginning, you're just like, oh, I've got at least 30 minutes before the alligator
right.
shows up. And then, like, when the alligator shows up, you're not expecting it
right.
at all. And it's awesome.
Yeah. Crawl is very well done.
It's very well directed.
Yeah.
And the last one is Hideaway. I'm due for a rewatch of Hideaway.
Good. Still haven't seen Hideaway, sadly.
Man, you will regret it.
But it was.
Do you know what night you're watching it? Because I mean, like, I could clear my schedule.
Those of you paying attention during Junesploitation, it was the free space day all month long.
Yeah.
Every free space day was Hideaway.
It was a good joke.
It was.
It was a really
it was a
good joke,
joke for one person, and that one person was you.
Can I tell you my Hideaway story?
I wish you would.
Okay. Ooh, wish. Did
somebody say wish?
Everlasting.
I'm Wishmaster Junior. Coming this fall to theaters. Wishmaster Junior.
It's like, coming this fall to ABC Kids. Wish.
I'm on Freeform, Ma.
Except my subversions of the wishes are fairly innocuous. Where it's like, I wish I didn't have to do this homework. And then it's like, because you fell off your bike.
I did your homework for you. You're welcome.
I wish my dog wasn't sick. And guess what? I didn't even have a dog. That's pretty cool. Crisis averted. So I want to take a trip down memory lane. Maybe I want you as a listener to close your eyes and remember where you were on March 3rd, 1995. Mm. It was a big weekend. We had the wide releases of Man of the House, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas one, not that Tommy Lee Jones bullshit.
Right.
Hideaway.
Yeah.
And The Mangler.
Wow.
So I really wanted to see both Hideaway and The Mangler opening weekend. And my dad was like, no, you can't see both of them. You can only see one. And I thought it was a very like arbitrary rule because he wasn't going with me to see these. It was just me going with my friends. And
did somebody say you wished you could see both of them?
I do. And so I was just like, well, why? And this is the only time my dad ever judged me for my horror fandom. He just goes, I just don't want you to become one of those guys.
Oh.
And then I was just like, guess what, Dad? I did. but then because I bring up Man of the House because like I was trying to get my friends Paul and Frank to go with me to see both Mangler and Hideaway. And they were just like, we're going to see Man of the House, but you could go with me if you want. And I was just like, I don't want to see that James Orr movie. I want to see a Brett Leonard. Have you guys seen The Lawnmower Man? There's some promise there. This is a big year for Brett Leonard. He also has Virtuosity slated for August. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but if the trailer for Hideaway...
Few other filmmakers are combining technology with real horror concepts the way Brett Leonard does.
I mean, if this is a virtual reality, then consider me virtual, because I don't want to participate in actual life. Just put a fucking headset on my face, and I'm ready to go. I'm just saying that, like, with all respect to Mr. Toby Hooper, I'm going to have to, might have to see Hideaway twice. Man, they called him Brett Box Office Leonard. Because when you enter a room, you listen because you just saw dollar signs dancing in your face.
I did not see The Lawnmower Man theatrically, but I think I wanted to.
Oh, God, did I want to see The Lawnmower Man theatrically. I was a little too young, but like,
yeah.
God, I remember like when the trailer came out and it was just like Jeff Fahey virtually being like, oh. And I was just like, there's never been a mood. Like, I almost like corn pops flew in the air. I was just like, I couldn't contain myself. So, yeah.
So when did you end up seeing Hideaway?
Video.
Okay.
Because there was this video store near me that's no longer around because there are no video stores.
That is correct.
It was called Video Works, and it was great because they would rent, like, anything to anybody.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, so I remember, like, going there when I was, like, 13 and renting Showgirls, and they had no problem with it.
That's irresponsible.
they were like, it was me and, like, five other eighth graders, and we were just like rode our bikes over there, and I was just like, let's slip the cassette on the counter, and they were just like, have fun, guys.
Be back in 3 nights.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
600 shows.
Man.
We did it.
Well, how do you feel about 600 shows?
You know, it feels like 600.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're going to rank them.
Oh, sweet. this was fun. I'm excited for Scary Movie Month.
I am too.
Yeah. It's going to be starting October 1st with our annual Scary Movie Month commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And then fun podcasts all month long, including probably some extra podcasts, because that's how we do during Scary Movie Month. We like to spoil everybody.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, oh my God, so much fun. So if you are new to the podcast, join us, leave 7-word reviews, participate. It's really fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
Mirrors.
Damn it.
Damn it. Shit.
Fuck this place.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.